For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLAV, that's Believe, for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BLAV. Bet Online. The game starts here.
We just really finished the second day of working, you know, down there in the red zone. I do know this. I do know that it's an area that we have to improve in. We have to be better in that area. And I think part of being better in that area is being able to run the ball more effectively. And I do like some of the things that I've seen out here in terms of what I think we can do. You know, when we really start – you know, practice in football, what I think we can do in the run game.
As far as, like, sorting out what happens behind the guy, is it a huge place, more of a premium on preseason games, practice, or is it, or how do you kind of...
Well, I think it's all encompassing. It's cumulative. Obviously, it's like when you go to college, all right, and you take a few quizzes. You know, you go to class, you study, you take a quiz, right? There's a weight that goes to that, right? That's like what practice is. And then all of a sudden you get into, it's time to take the exam, and that's weighted heavier, right? And that's really what we're doing. When we go out and play a preseason game, that's reality. That's what we do. And so when the lights come on, how do we perform in those environments? And yet, all those other quizzes still affect my grade. You with me? And so... that's probably the best way I can describe it.
Is that as you make decisions, is that a hard decision to make, or do you think it just becomes obvious?
Well, look, I'd say this. I'd say evaluation takes time. You know, evaluation is not a one-time thing. Evaluation takes the course of time. And I do think over the course of time, I do think it becomes more and more clear as you watch it over the course of time. Now, if you're trying to make a decision after every single practice, then I think that clouds the vision. I think you're evaluating everything every day, and ultimately, as you evaluate, the picture becomes more clear.
Dennis, after all the kind of talk about like culture and stuff after last year, have you seen the buy-in that you wanted to see?
Yeah, look, I think it's been better. I think that's a work in progress still, you know, but I think that's what this time of year is about.
Yeah.
I think this is about, you know, developing a foundation, developing some team chemistry, and I think that's what we're doing out here.
When Aliudo's healthy, do you see him more as a tackle guard?
I think he's got flexibility to play both. And I think we're going to look at, okay, where are we at on the offensive line, and where can he best help us in that situation? And so, again, I don't think I don't think we've made any decisions in terms of exactly where we're going to play him. I think we're going to end up figuring out how to get the best five out there, and that's what we're going to do.
But you feel like you're starting, you know, for a long time, you know, the organization always had a very talented young nucleus. Do you feel like you're starting to, you know, down again? Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I see some youth on our football team that I'm excited about, and I'm encouraged by. And so, and look, I think that's how you sustain success in our league, is by acquiring young, talented players and developing them. And quite honestly, I think we've done as good as anybody at developing players, you know, over the course of my time here in New Orleans. So, and I see some young, talented players, you know, on our team, and it, probably in particular offensively.
Guys that maybe drafted last year starting to, you know, that maybe they're going to make whatever step that is from the first year to the second year?
Yeah, the hope is always that they're going to, you know, make the biggest jump from year one to year two. And yet that's not always the case. And again, like, I don't get into what's the jump going to be in year two. I get into, you know, how's this guy going to get better today? And if you do that, then the end result's going to be closer to what you're looking for. And so I think that's where our focus is.
For that jump to happen for a guy like A.T. Perry, what did you kind of want to see him work on this offseason to put himself in position to?
Everything. I mean, he's coming off his rookie year. There's a ton of stuff he's got to, you know, improve on. And so, again, I don't want him thinking about, well, I got to do this. Like, just come to work every day and focus on the things that you're being coached to do and do it to the very best of your ability every single day. And if you do that, then the jump that we're all talking about will naturally occur.
Progressing. I think the original target was June for him to get on the field. Is there any hope that maybe he's out here next week?
Yeah, I think there's a chance we could see him in some. I don't think we'll see him in any teamwork next week, but I think there's the potential that, you know, he could be out here and, you know, maybe working in some walkthroughs and individual type stuff.
In general, his progress.
I think his progress is just fine. Yeah.
Where does Pete Werner on that career progression curve?
Heading into year four.
His numbers production-wise didn't make it look like he took a big leap from two to three, but where did
you
see
him? Yeah, look, I think I don't think we overall were as effective defensively as we needed to be last year. I think the scoring defense was still pretty good, but I thought there were some things that we needed to do better, you know, overall as a defense. And I think Pete would say that, maybe last year was not what he would have anticipated or expected. I think he's come into this offseason with a renewed sense of urgency about improving. And I've seen a great focus out of him, this offseason in terms of, you know, trying to get better.
He added some veterans to that mix, Willie Gay and Kalika Hudson. I mean, how did he embrace that?
Probably looked at it as a challenge. I would hope that he looked at it as a challenge. I haven't asked him the question, you know. But that's the nature of our business, is every year there's new people that are brought into the organization. Every year there's new competition. And that's never going to change. So, again, that's one of those things that as a player I can't focus on. I don't have control over the players that the organization brings into the building. I have control over how I perform.
You run that back.
Probably looked at it as a challenge. I would hope that he looked at it as a challenge. I haven't asked him the question, you know. But that's the nature of our business, is every year there's new people that are brought into the organization. Every year there's new competition, and that's never going to change. So, again, that's one of those things that as a player I can't focus on. I don't have control over the players that the organization brings into the building. I have control over how I perform.
What? That can't be right. I'm sorry, fam. That can't be right. The head coach of the New Orleans Saints, he has to be misspeaking. He just said he don't have control over. That can't be right. Pardon me, family. Let me listen to that one last time. That can't be right. I must have misheard that.
And that's never going to change. So, again, that's one of those things that as a player, I can't focus on. I don't have control over the players that the organization brings into the building. What? I have control over how I perform.
What? If Dennis Allen, what? No, that's... If Dennis Allen doesn't have any control over the players, the Saints are, well, who does? Who does have control over the players that, so somebody above Dennis Allen is just bringing people into the building and Dennis Allen doesn't have any control over them? Is that correct? That must be, he must have misspoke. That is totally ridiculous. If that's the case, that can't be. I'm sorry. One more time, fam. That can't be what he said. He must have misspoken that time. He had to be because that makes. That opens up a whole nother, that explains a lot if that is truth.
And that's never going to change. So again, that's one of those things that as a player, I can't focus on. I don't have control over the players that the organization brings into the building. I have control over how I perform. And I think that's where his focus really has been.
I got it.
A few weeks ago.
Okay, he said player. Okay, thank you.
Chase Young, even though he's not been able to do stuff, has he still been around the meeting?
Yeah, look, he's been here every day. And he's in all the meetings. And when we're out here at practice, he's in doing the rehab and the things that he's capable of doing. I see a guy that's highly motivated to have a great year, you know. And, I think to this point, you know, he's been on track in terms of the healing process. We'll probably have another update, in terms of where he's at here in, a week or two. Probably he'll paint a little bit clearer picture as to, when we think he might be back. But he's doing everything that we're asking him to do. He's highly motivated. He wants to be a part of this organization, wants to be a part of this team. I'm excited about getting him out here when he's healthy enough to be out here.
All right. He said as a player. Okay. He was speaking as a player. I got you. Thank you for that, man. I know I was listening. And I was like, hold on. What? Okay. All right. Thank you, fam. All right. Shout out to Brother Thomas, man. Thank you for the super chat, fam. Says Dennis, a.k.a. Dennis Allen, a.k.a. Pinocchio. Okay. Thank you, bro. Appreciate the super chat, man. Much love. All right, fam. Let's go ahead on and get on through this, man. Here we go.
2009, so long ago, but you were here and so was Mickey. And I was wondering, with that having been an experience where 7-9, 8-8, and then turn the corner and climb really hard, is there anything instructive that you've been able to reflect on from that period that might be helpful to the staff or the players? Or do you and Mickey ever try to go back and say, what worked so well then that might work now? Or is it just totally
Look, they're two totally separate, issues. Or situations. I'd say the similarity would be after the 08 season, we brought in a new defensive coordinator. I thought defensively we took on a new attitude. I thought we played more aggressively. I thought we played tougher. you know. And so there was a little bit of a defensive culture change. And so the similarity would be that we've made some changes offensively. And maybe we see the same type of results in that fashion.
And I remembered how that team, personality-wise, did embrace at some point certain expectations, because we go in the locker room and interview them and we saw SB44 t-shirts and be special and smell greatness and all that stuff. So when you were, how do you balance telling guys just focus on the process versus, you know, we can make that jump?
Yeah. Here's the thing. You feel it. You sense it. You see it. Look, I knew somewhere during this time frame, you know, in 2009, I knew we were going to be a good football team. I didn't know how good, how many games we were going to win, but I knew we were going to be a good football team. And so I think over the course of time, you get a sense for it, you get a feel for it. I don't think those things were, you know, I don't recall. I mean, it's 2009. I don't really remember yesterday, but in 2009, I don't recall donning a Super Bowl T-shirt in OTAs. You know, I think that's something that over the course of time.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, you start seeing it and feeling it as the season goes on, and yet that can't be the focus. Because if you start focusing on that, you lose track of what's right there in front of you, and then you get tripped up.
How critical is the offensive line coach to the change?
Well, look, so, yeah, I'd say it's extremely important. Obviously, it starts with Clint as the offensive coordinator. That's where the leadership on the offensive side, you know, starts with him and filters down through, you know, the assistant coaches and then the all the way down through the coaching assistants and then down into the player leadership. But look, the heart and soul of your team really needs to be your offensive line. I think if your offensive line is playing at an extremely high level, I would say more often than not, you're having some success, you know, at least offensively, you're having some success. And I think, you know, overall as a team, I think you see a lot more success when that's the case. And so, I think that's important. I think the leadership on the offensive line, I'm looking for guys like Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz to step up and have a leadership role in that room, and you know, hold the guys, because there's some young guys that are going to be playing on the offensive line. That's going to happen, you know, and so those guys have to do a great job of holding those guys accountable to the standard, because the standard is the standard regardless of first-year player or 15-year vet.
Because Quint isn't necessarily as maybe fiery as Brent Williams back was in 2009, wondering how you've seen him still trying to instill that new culture or bring about a culture without maybe the pomp and circumstance.
Let me pause it right there for a second. Hemisphere says, what is one big knack? One of the big knocks on DA will be game management. Situational football is his downfall. Player management is another one. This is true. He has to get better at that as a head coach. And I think that's a big part of it. Kind of counting on his offense to kind of bring him around. But I do think, I'm going to just say that based on some of the research and the things that I've seen with the current offensive staff that we have, there are disparage the last year's staff, but in terms of some of the attributes that's needed to win, they have those things. So it's just a matter of time, right? I mean, like the Taysom Hill thing is awesome. Getting Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill together, how would that look? Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, Juwan Johnson. You have playmakers all over the place. So like I'm saying, the offense was not devoid of talent. We had some of the best players in the game there. Alvin Kamara, in my opinion, can do every bit of what Christian McCaffrey was doing for the 49ers last year. He could do every bit of that, if not better. And that's something I talked about. It's like, man, to look at what Christian McCaffrey doing, I'm sorry to throw the 49ers in it, but you're going to be using a similar system that they rolled out offensively speaking. Could you imagine the numbers for Alvin Kamara if he can pick up the system like Christian McCaffrey did, stay healthy? McCaffrey put up monster numbers for them, and he had that he got that big extension, yesterday? We covered it on TSC Unleashed. That'll be coming out to our Patreon family members. TSC Unleashed, that'll be rolling out, I think, tonight. An hour show, we talked about different things on that. And that was one of the things. Jefferson's contract with the Vikings is on there. Caden Clark's thing that was happening, that was covered. But just imagine Alvin Kamara's numbers in a positive win. And of course, there's going to be a learning curve to what's going on. But like I said, it's all predicated on how fast they can get these guys up to code. And really, it starts with the offensive line. So the offensive line, there are no malcontents on the offensive line. There is no big egos on the offensive line. You got a bunch of young, hungry players. You got Cesar Ruiz and McCoy. In my opinion, their seasons could have been a lot better, especially Eric McCoy. McCoy didn't have a great year, in my opinion. He spent way too much time on the turf, and Cesar Ruiz didn't look like all that either. So a mindset reset, the leadership, I agree with Dennis Allen on that. That is very true. You know, but yeah, this is he as a coach, and this is something that we talk about. That I talk about this with the Pelicans on my Pelican stream too, is that these coaches, they have to get better because the team will go as far as the coach takes them. That's what it comes down to. He's the leader of the team. Like it or lump it, Dennis Allen is the leader. He has to improve as a head coach. We know he's a good defensive coordinator. We know he can do things with the defense, but Clint Kubiak operates the offense, but Dennis Allen is still the head coach. The team will go as far as Dennis Allen will take them, because I'm telling you, there'll be times during the season when Clint Kubiak is going to struggle over there. It's just part of the game. What does Dennis Allen do? Does Dennis Allen go over there and talk to him, or do he leave him alone? How do you handle that if you're Dennis Allen? But Dennis Allen, what did he do last year with Pete Carmichael? Nothing. Didn't force him to change anything. And just, you know, so we hoping that he improves. That's the question. And they never, every year is they never ask these questions about just talking directly to Dennis Allen and asking him, as a head coach coming up after 2 years of not making the playoffs in New Orleans, how have you improved as a head coach for to turn this team around and head them in the right direction? How have you improved internally? Like you as a person, what did you do? Did you pick up anything? Did you learn anything new? Did you pick up any motivational techniques, become a better speaker, learn how to deal with people better? You know, what's that about? Did you learn any of these things? That's what I'm talking about. And I know a lot of people not going to lie to hear that, but that's truth. The truth is that the team is only going to go as far as the head coach takes them. And this is truth. This is what it is.
Yeah. Well, look, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, right? And it's not necessary. The as you said it, pomp and circumstance, all the yelling and screaming, that's not necessarily what changed the culture. Okay. It was the attention to detail. It was the, this is who we are. This is what we are. And this is how we're going to play. And then it was holding the guys accountable to that standard.
Dennis Allen just said attention to detail and basically accountability. And I keep highlighting these things because this is not what we heard early on. But this is the things that he's focused on. He's got this set in his mind now for this upcoming year. Attention to detail and accountability. Things that you need to win. Saints lacked these things over the last couple of years. They lacked them. They didn't have that. They didn't know how to use their offensive pieces. The guys false start and they didn't get disciplined for it. What part of attention to detail and accountability is that? So he was saying about, he said early in the interview about, you know, kind of locking down on the repetitive mistake makers. He didn't use that verbiage, but very similar. So that's also a part of the accountability matrix. So Dennis Allen has this beat in his head now, man. So this is good. This is good talk. You know, a lot of people don't like Dennis Allen, but I'm telling you the truth. He's talking the right talk, family. Like it or lump it, Dennis Allen is talking the right talk. All right, Smallville, thank you, man. Say, what's up, Q? Shout out to you. Appreciate you, my brother. Salute to you and all the family members. Thank you all for being here. He says, yo, why is this guy? Oh, he says, guy, Jerry, a hater. He gets mad and you talking about OG Jerry? He says, expressing our opinion, DA sucks and will take the team. I assure you. Thank you for the super chat, Smallville. OG Jerry is not a hater. Jerry's very passionate and he's serious about the Saints. I think y'all have a lot in common in terms of y'all passion. You know, I just think, some people believe they don't believe in Dennis Allen and that's fine. You know, they don't believe a lot and see a lot of people don't believe in Dennis Allen and Dennis Allen hasn't, truth be told, Dennis Allen hadn't really given the Who Dat Nation and the support base much to be, you know, happy for, you know, he doesn't really appreciate himself to you. He said he don't really care about what the expectations are. And that's a part of the knowing how to speak to people. Even though you think that as a head coach, you have to be sensitive to all things that's coming here, because not all things that are coming outside of the building is stuff that you can't use. You get what I'm saying? But see, if you don't have discernment, you don't have the ability to differentiate between which is which, do you say, I just block it all out. I don't want to hear none of it, which is, you can't, that won't work. You're going to hear it because you go on these media shows, you go on NFL.com, you go on these other places, and they ask you questions that are coming from supporters and non-supporters about the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints haven't won in 3 years and Tampa Bay has controlled the division 3 years straight. And the Saints have not been void of talent. They've had talent. Some of the best talent in the NFC South we've had. A lot of the losing was self-inflicted. I've said that over and over again. It was self-inflicted. Not making the changes when we're supposed to make the changes, not doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And the other team doing, you know, making those changes, making those adjustments. And it hurt us in the end, and it cost us. But like I said, pressure builds. Third year here, people are not going to settle for a 9 playoff season and you keeping around him. Mickey Loomis was already damn near out of his mind at the end of that season press conference. It was taking daytime coming out with these press conferences, talking about he has to take a couple of weeks after the season to evaluate the team, which was complete balderdash. And that's why I was lambasting him all throughout the season, because if you would be doing your in-season evaluations, and you would know that's what general managers do. That's why you wouldn't have to take 2 effing weeks to find out who you need to get up out of here and who needs to stay. If you was doing your work that you're getting paid to do, because I'm pretty sure you're getting a GM check too. You're not just getting paid the VP check. Now, that would say a lot if that was the case, like, oh, we just paying you to be a VP and the GM is a throw-in. That would explain a lot. But I don't know the situation in particulars. I'm just saying that, you know, accountability starts, don't just start at the head coach level. It starts way up in the top of the organization. But if you have a person that don't know football, not well enough where it can keep its employees accountable, and it's over relying on people underneath to do it. And like I said, that becomes a problem, because the pressure falls on Mickey Loomis, and Mickey Loomis is he's the oldest general manager in the game. I think the game to a large degree has passed Mickey Loomis by. A lot of his money decisions are very questionable. The $150 million contract that they doled out to Derek Carr was not a good contract. It's an escalating contract with him getting older and the numbers going up. Now, there is an option at a certain point, but still in all, it's very interesting, man, the whole Saints setup at the end. I've been saying this for a matter of months now about reformatting this whole thing. This is not how it's supposed to be. The top 2 people in the organization don't know enough about any of the sports that they're supposed to be president of. Dennis Laucher doesn't know anything about football. He defers questions to Mickey. And then he got the same position for the Pelicans. He don't know nothing about basketball. Defers questions to David Griffin. Why are you up there? If you're supposed to be the president, what the hell? No, you should be the chief financial officer and take the president job and give it to somebody that know about that sport. That's what you're supposed to do. And I think that's when you kind of start reshaping things. And people don't talk about this, but this is a major problem. Accountability. How is people, the 2 top people of your organization, going to hold football people and basketball people accountable when they don't even know the sports like they're supposed to? And they're over relying on people to get it. So if these people fail, the team struggle. There's no accountability. And even if you don't know, you're supposed to still be evaluating them to the best of your ability. There is no evaluation going on by Dennis Laucher at any level.
This show is sponsored by Bet Online, where the game starts. This podcast is sponsored by Bet Online, where the game starts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.